Welcome back to a Wednesday edition right here on Extra Sports 910. Cardinals mini camp continues in Tempe. We're now joined by one of the newest members. He was involved in a trade. He is Javier Arenas. Javier, Mike Jarecki, how you doing today?
Man, I'm good. How about yourself, Mike?
I'm doing well. So how you dealing with this heat?
I'm dealing with it pretty fine. You know, I'm originally from Tampa, Florida. You know, I've been playing football all my life. Been playing in a different type of heat all my life. So it's not that big of an adjustment.
All right, let's talk about the situation and scenario. How surprised were you? Of course, they bring in a new general manager, a new head coach, so you never know what's going to play out. But how surprised were you when the trade was made?
Yeah, I was pretty surprised. It threw me off a little bit. But, you know, in this business, things like this happen, so you got to take it and run with it.
All right, what has it been like since you've joined the Cardinals? A lot of new faces, a lot of optimism. It seems like a lot of coaching going on. What are your general thoughts since you're a member of the Arizona Cardinals now?
It's not really much thinking, to be honest with you, man. It's learning and going and having fun as I go about, you know, approaching my new job, man. It's been very, very fun. The coaching staff is outstanding. They're very interactive, as well as the players, man. Great bunch of players. Love being in my defensive back room and, you know, just interacting, you know, even with the quarterbacks in between periods, the receivers in between periods, you know, just the whole experience has been great.
You know, I look at it because when the season was over, you know, I looked at Patrick Peterson was a guy that I knew was, you know, be on the other side, and they decided to let William Gay go. And then they bring in Jared Powers, they bring in Antoine Kaysen, they bring in yourself. I mean, you got some guys that are motivated and some guys with a great opportunity here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best position to put yourself in as a coach. You know, get three guys who are good football players and who you know are going to compete for the job. And, you know, whoever plays the best, whoever earns that spot, it's a well-deserved spot. You know what I mean? So you don't want to get, you know, three slouches out there and, you know, the one who wins the competition, you know, is an average player. You know, you want three competitors to go out there, do what they do best, display their talent, and, you know, the best man be out there.
All right, let me ask you this. How difficult was it last year just dealing with everything that went on in Kansas City, just as a person and a player?
You know, it was difficult, obviously. Got very difficult towards the end of the season, you know, with the incident of my good friend, you know, Javon Belcher. But the positive that I got out of it was, you know, the type of teammates that I had. You know, the record might not show, but, you know, the coaching staff as well, man, we all kind of rallied together and we stuck through with it. At the end of the day, you need to win football games. You know, that's the bottom line, and that is very understood. But going through a situation like that in terms of the accident and, you know, not winning football games, you know, at least we were man enough to rally up each Sunday and still continue throughout that season.
Yeah, that was impressive for an outsider's perspective. Just to go through something like that, you lose a teammate. I mean, it's just a terrible tragedy and situation. And it just seems like you guys stuck together and you rallied, even though the record may not have indicated. But deep down inside, I mean, I thought you guys rallied as a team.
Yeah, we did, man. And, you know, Scott Peale was the general manager there. Romeo Crennel was the head coach. They headed that rally. They kept us together. I mean, of course, not taking anything away from either players, man. We, you know, in the locker room, man, we stuck close together, you know, tried our best to just, you know, keep moving forward. At the same time, not just, you know, forgetting it because it's a very hard thing to do. But we're all professional football players. We're all grown men. And, you know, life goes on.
I'm sure you're never going to forget that day. I mean, was it just a terrible feeling knowing what everyone was going through and you had to play the following day?
Yeah, it was sickening, man. Especially for the type of person, you know, of whom he was, you know, who the accident occurred to or the situation, you know.
Right.
Man, you know, it was devastating, you know, the day before a football game. And again, you don't expect that from, you know, Javon. But, you know, like I said, once again, man, the NFL, you know, is the toughest players, not just physically, but mentally. You know what I mean? You got to carry on, you
sure.
know, regardless. You know, we're out there, you know, to display our talents. And, you know, we have to do that every Sunday, no matter what the situation is. We suffered that devastation the day before the game, but, you know, not forgetting him. And, you know, everyone who was involved, excuse me, not forgetting anyone who was involved in that situation, but
right.
we still had to, you know, focus on our job.
I mean, I know you guys made a decision as a team. I mean, was it the right thing to play the following day? I mean, I know, you know, you have to go out there and it's your job and you have to move on at some point, but you're still carrying a heavy heart. Do you think it was the right decision to play that following day?
Absolutely, because Kansas City is a football crazy town,
mm-hmm.
and I mean that in a good way. And to not go out there and play would have left the city in a stale state, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of just an oblivious state, think about the situation more type state, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So instead, we went out there and we gave him a little more to think about, gave him a little more to cheer for, and as well as us, it helped us focus and direct our attention, you know, to something else instead of dwelling upon it. Of course, it comes back, you know, after the game, you know, thinking about the situation. But at the same time, to get yourself out of that state, that still state, that feeling of right before a tornado comes, how quiet and still it get. Mm-hmm. Get yourself out of that and the city out of that type of state. You know, go out there and give them something to cheer for.
Javier Arenas is my guest right here on Extra Sports 910. He comes over in a trade for Anthony Sherman. Of course, he was part of the Kansas City Chiefs a year ago, and I do appreciate you talking about that. Let's talk about this Cardinal defense and bring in Todd Bowles. I know guys like Darnell Dockett and Calais Campbell are really excited about getting a chance to rush the passer. You got some young linebackers you've brought in. How good can this defense be, Javier?
As good as it wants to be. It can be an outstanding defense. But at the same time, this is a period where we lay the groundwork, each individual, you know, lay their own foundation, you know, and build from there. And, you know, subconsciously it all come together. You know, as a corner, I got to focus on my job, my technique, and, you know, doing it to the best of my ability. As a linebacker, whoever that is has to worry about the same thing. And at the end of the day, you know, we're all playing for each other and all playing together, and it's going to come together. So, I mean, the potential is out there, you know, so we just got to put it together and roll with it.
How long does it take for something like this to come together? Because, you know, Bruce mentioned yesterday, B.A. did, that the defense is much more ahead of the offense, and you got a lot of new faces on defense, but it seems like things are starting to come together. How long does it take to gel as a defense?
I want probably not as long as the offense, because the you know, typically offenses are more complex.
More timing and everything over there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, but when the defense, man, more so if you don't know what you're doing, you can make up by competing and going full speed. You can't do that all the time, of course. You got to eventually get it right. But so that's that little gray area that we kind of make up for. You know, in offense, you got to be in sync. Everybody got to be on the same page. But, you know, defense is just a little more simple, man. And say, for instance, if I don't know what to do on the play, you know, I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to cover a guy, and I'm going to dive for balls and try to knock him down. So, you know, my guys can at least recognize my ability as I still learn, you know, the defense.
What is it like going against Fitz and Michael Floyd? You throw in there Andre Roberts and Laron Bird. I mean, the Cardinals have some big physical receivers. What is it like going against those guys in practice?
It's a pleasure, man. They make me better. Hopefully, you know, we make them better as defensive backs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't slack on us. We don't slack on them. We know what it is. We know why. You know, we're going as hard and competing as hard as we are against each other. And you talk about, you know, and Fitz, you know, one of the best receivers in the NFL, you know, hands down. And the rest of these guys, man, these are some top-notch receivers. So to have the opportunity to go against these guys every day at practice, you know you're getting better as a DB.
Do you buy into the philosophy that the new regime in Kansas City wanted to go with more big physical corners and maybe guys that are 6 feet and above? And you see it in Seattle with, you know, Richard Sherman and Brandon Browner. I mean, you know, guys like yourself can still play in the league, but do you see that it's maybe a trend that they're trying to go with these bigger corners now?
I can't necessarily say that because you know, they got Brandon Flowers over there, who's not the biggest corner, but he's an outstanding corner.
Right.
You know, outstanding corner. You got Dante Robinson over there, same situation. I think he's an outstanding corner, too. He's not that big. I still might be shorter than both of those guys. But, you know, I wouldn't venture to say that, not at this point. You know, some people may think it may show just a tad bit. But, you know, I'm not going to go out and say that. I just felt like I wasn't their guy, so to speak. And, you know, here I am.
All right, you know the number you're wearing, 35. It's Aeneas Williams.
Absolutely.
Longtime Cardinal, played in St. Louis. Hopefully he's going to get in the Hall of Fame this year. What is it like for you just to wear that number, knowing the history with the Arizona Cardinals?
You know, just carry on a great play that he portrayed out there on the football field. You know, just like just throwing an example out there, someone wearing number 21 for the Cowboys, you know, you want to rep it, you know, the right way.
Yep.
You know, because Deion Sanders wore it. That it could be seen as a motivation. And I try not to see any negative in it in terms of, I got an expectation that, you know, the player
right.
to wearing 35. I see it as, all right, he wore this jersey. Let's, you know, let's get the effort he gave, you know, at minimum, you know, and just, you know, take pride in wearing number 35 because of who wore it before you.
All right, a couple quickies for you. Are you going to get a chance to kick return and punt return here? Have you done any of that so far?
Yeah, I have. You know, I have on and off a little bit, you know, switching back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just very early in the off season, so not early, but you know, me getting here.
Sure.
You know, I just got here, so I'm getting my fair share.
I got you. All right, my last question: what was it like to play for Nick Saban? We hear so many things, and I think his record speaks for itself. But you're a guy there. Rashad Johnson was a 2-time captain. What was it like for you to play for Nick Saban?
It was great. It was awesome. I feel like he's a launching pad for college football players, especially defensive backs. When I say launching pad, meaning when he sends you off to NFL as a first-round pick or as an undrafted free agent,
mm-hmm.
you have a foundation. You have something to work off of. You know what to expect. You've been through a complex defense, so I feel like you have an upper edge on a lot of guys playing your position. And he makes you want to play for him, you know. After, you know, playing for him and going to the NFL, mm-hmm. you know, you have to create your own standards in terms of keeping a high intensity as you go out there on the football field. But in terms of what you know and the way you would coach, I think you don't have no worries of being well prepared for the NFL.
Hey, Javier, I appreciate you joining us. I look forward to meeting you in person. Good luck this season.
All right, thank you very much.
My pleasure. That's Javier Arenas. He was involved in the Anthony Sherman trade to the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, the Chiefs have loaded up at linebacker, and the Cardinals decided they wanted to bring in Javier Arenas. He's going to wear number 35. Of course, Aeneas Williams wore that. Right now, he's getting a chance to play with the second team. But I will say this, considering where this Cardinal team was in January, you look at that cornerback position, they are much deeper than they were just a few months ago. Patrick Peterson, Gerard Powers, Antoine Kaysen. You throw in there a guy like Javier Arenas now. And then you throw in a couple of the Cardinals draft picks just from a year ago. Jamel Fleming, a third-round pick, and Justin Bethel, who had 3 picks in practice yesterday. He was a 6th-round pick. So the Cardinals do have some depth at corner. Appreciate Javier Arenas joining us. You're listening to Extra Sports 910.